This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala al-ma'uth rahmatil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm 20 min shahri Dhul-Hijjah 1445 الموافق ل 27 من شهر جون 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah today we continue from where we stopped last dars, which is the saying of Allah, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning the non-believers from whatever faith they're coming from. Allah is asking them, how is it possible for them to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his existence? He says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. And before you were dead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you into life. كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. You used to be dead, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you into the life. Because everyone was like that. And the sperm, whatever that is coming from the side of the father, which is going to be mixed by the egg from the mother, you know, those ones are dead technically because the soul is not given to them. Although they have that kind of life, which is mentioned to us by the science, but technically they are dead. That's the reason why after a certain period of time, Allah will send an angel to come and blow the soul to this mixture of the two waters that is coming from the father and the mother. So giving soul to it, you know, confirmed that they used to be dead before this moment. You know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. And this is what Quran does if you realize from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been reminding us, about his existence and his right to be worshipped alone through this fact that he is the only one who brought this life into existence. Things that he put, you know, around us and in us also. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring us to ourselves. It says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look at yourself and understand things clearly? You Allah, because you are full of amazing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us. But nobody reflects upon this except somebody who uses his aql properly. You know, that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ulil albab, qawmi ya'qilun. Because without aql, there is no way for a person to reflect. No matter how much clear is an evidence, you will never understand it if the aql is not functioning properly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. You used to be dead, and then Allah brought you into life. This is when we are born. Yeah? That kind of life, you know, which has a lot of stages. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes our life from A to Z. Yeah? You are dead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you into existence. And then you live that kind of life which is full of stages. Allah says, ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا. And then he brought you out as طِفْل. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَتَوَفَّى وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمْ بَعْرَ إِنِّي شَيْءًا. SubhanAllah. Some of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them to die. Do children die? Yes. Some of them, even before they come out of the womb, they will be dead. They have to bring them, you know, to take them to the grave as a dead person, which are all message to us who lived 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, you know, 30 years, 40 years, 60 years. If that person dies, who is not even one day old in this dunya, he died. That's when the possibility of death in our case is much stronger. You get what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. So I should be prepared. Never be deceived by the nature of my life. Yeah, I'm young, you know, and then I deceive myself, oh, it's too far to die. Death is with the old people. It doesn't go like this. Right? It doesn't go like this. Many people died at a very young age. Many people died at a very young age. So this is Rabbul Alameen. He fixes time for everything. That's why you cannot say eating certain food, you know, will let you live longer. Doing exercises will let you live longer. No, we don't have this. You will never go beyond your qadar. You know, you will never go beyond your qadar. No matter how much healthy you are, if death comes, you will go. You have to leave. You know, you have to leave. Yeah. So that you can say it's good, is excellent, is recommended Islamically to eat healthy food, right? Good things to maintain your health, because it is always good that death approaches you when you are strong and you are doing the right thing, rather than death coming to you when you are weak and you couldn't do anything. So it's better to make this choice. Death reaches you when you are strong, you're healthy, you're good, you're doing the right thing, very productive, rather than death reaching you when you are very, very weak. That's how you should put it, so that you will not contradict the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, after that we come out, we leave that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا. Some of us, Allah will take our life earlier. And some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمَرِ. You know أَرْضَلِ الْعُمَرِ? That's old age where a person cannot even control himself, doesn't remember things, can't walk properly, people have to wash him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. One of the means to protect yourself from reaching this type of life is to memorize Quran and put it into action. To be righteous. Allah... the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, احفظ الله يحفظك. احفظ الله. حفظ means preserve. Preserve the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practice it correctly, then Allah will protect you. You have to preserve the Sharia of Allah to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always waiting for you to ask for any support you are in need of. So, it's really necessary. That's why I told you last time that there was a man who was very old, but at the same time, very strong. He jumped just like a very young person. So they asked him, what is the secret behind this, you know, strength at this age? He says, these are the limbs that we preserve them when we are young. And Allah is preserving them for us when we reach the old age. Yeah, that's it. So Allah says some of us, they will live until they reach that age. وَلِتَبْلِغُوا أَجَلًا مُسَمَّنْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we keep you up to the moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for everyone. So this moment before reaching it has a lot of stages. You know what a person's supposed to reflect. Most of us are negligent in the first part of it, right? Up to the age of 14, 15, usually people are negligent. They start coming back to their consciousness after that. They start coming back to their consciousness after that age. And then you will move this golden age, you know, from 15 until 30 years. Yeah? Until 40 years, some scholars said. And then you will reach the sinnat tawakkuf. Ibn al-Jawzi call it sinnat tawakkuf. There is a book written by Ibn Jawzi. I don't know whether it is translated in English or not, but inshallah it's not, so that you will learn Arabic. تنبيه النائم الغم عم رحل العمر. Very good book, talking about the stage, you know, reminding and waking up that person who is deeply sleeping. He's talking about us, عم رحل العمر, about the stages of life, age. So he said, you will reach 40 years. This is Sinat Tukam, Sinat Tukuf, the age where you will stop moving. Your aql doesn't grow that much. You know, you reach the peak. Yeah. It's the time when you're supposed to be very serious in life, understanding things correctly. Yeah, because now your aql is complete. You will stop like this for a few years, like that. Not growing up, not going down. And then the degenerated age, you know, or situation will take place. You will start going down. Aql will start reducing. You know, strength, physical, you know, power will start going down. And there we go, slowly, slowly, gradually, until some of us, subhanAllah. But usually if a person is righteous, bi-ibnillahi azza wa jal, Allah will preserve for him these things, inshallah. No matter how much he aged. Even like to you, but it doesn't mean that if a person aged that age, it means he's not righteous. No, he's not. No, some of us are lost my heart. I grant him this, you know. That's why taking care of your body, physical body, and spirituality is always a good tazkiyah to nafs. It's always good, excellent. Even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested you with that old age, but subhanAllah, you were not negligent before. Yeah, you will not regret, because what you did before this age was alhamdulillah good. Even Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will put barakah, you know, in it. It will help you to pass a test on the day of judgment when you meet Allah. So he says, "Wa kuntu amwatan fa ahyaakum." You used to be dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you into life. Thumma yumeetukum. You know, and then death will come. Allah says, "Huwa alladhi yatawaffakum bil-layli wa ya'lamu ma jarahtum bin-nahar thumma yab'athukum fihi liqada ajalun musamma." Allah is the one who takes your soul at night. Which taking soul is this? Sleeping. Because sleeping is a minor death. Allah is the one who is taking your soul at night. Allah يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها. Both souls are taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is the bigger taking. This is death, complete death. And the other one is the minor one. This is the sleep. Your soul leaves your body. In a very amazing way. Because for a few seconds, sometimes you see yourself in China, in some other country, maybe Mars, maybe somewhere else, you know, all of these things. SubhanAllah, these few seconds it goes to places where you never imagined to be in those places. And it sees a lot of things. That's how the dreams comes, right? Your soul meeting things and so Allah is the one who is taking the soul. So the complete taking, this is death. Alas, the person will not come back again. Yeah, until the day of judgment. The minor taking, this is the sleep. Where the soul leaves the body, but still there is a connection between the body and the soul. It doesn't go completely. That's why somebody hits you, the soul will come back immediately. Wherever it goes, it will come back immediately to the person. As an alam, akhar, another dimension. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how it works. So, وَالَّذِي تَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that at night. Take your soul at night. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he knows what exactly you guys are doing in the daytime. So in the daytime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you up. And Allah knows what you're doing in the daytime. ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring you back, you know, in the morning so that you can finish that ajal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for you. Then at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that ajal is finished, you will be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely for accountability. So Allah says here, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How How come? You disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. You used to be dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you into life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. And then he will cause you to die. This is the death rite that happens to every one of us. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. And then he will bring you back again. After that, blowing in the trumpet, right? Yeah, the trumpet will be blown. Everyone will die. وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ فَصَائِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Everyone will die. The angel, who is the angel that blew in the trumpet? Israfil, right? So he will blow in the trumpet, and then everyone will die. Nobody will remain. Everyone has to go. Nobody will remain. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then later on, after 40 years, 40 weeks, 40 months, Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him to blow again. You get it? And then he will blow again. When he blows, then life will come back. Subhanallah. Just like that. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadeer. You know. This is nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he blows, everyone is going to come back. The graves will be open. Without kubur, both of it. The grave will be open. You know. So everyone will come out in a state of confusion. Yeah, state of confusion. So you have to be confused because of what is going on on that day. The mountains are exploding, flying. You see them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. You see the mountains, you think they are standing still in one place. However, they are passing marras sahab, just like the clouds. You know, that's the day of judgment. So everyone's going to be confused. And you see a lot of things which will make you confused. And you will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like the way you were created. No clothes, barefoot, and uncircumcised to Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is going to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. And the situation is so hard in the way when Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, so you said nobody will have clothing. He said yes. Male and female in the same place. He said yes, because the situation on the Day of Judgment is far greater than you thinking about the condition of others. لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Imagine a person is, you know, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy and put everyone in hell so that he will come out of it. That's how much confused the person is. وصاحبته وبنيه وفصيلته التي تؤويه ومن في الأرض جميعا ثم ينجيه. But that will not work. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون. And on the day of judgment, you'll be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. So, if you accept the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused you to live, you are dead before. And then you accept the fact that you will die. Why is it so difficult for the one who did this, you know, to bring you back whenever he wants? You get it? وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. إِيُّ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is difficult with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that person who, in the Quran, مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها قال أن يحيي هذه الله بعد موتها فأماته الله مئة عام ثم بعث. You know, he passed through a city وهي خاوية على عروشها. It's already bow on its roots. Subhanallah. No brick is on the brick. Somebody took it down to the ground, melted the people in that place. So he sees the way the disaster took place in that city. He said, even this one also on the day of judgment will come back. SubhanAllah. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angel to take his soul for 100 years. 100 years. ثُمَّ بَعْثَ. After 100 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back. قال كم لبثت. Very good message for us. How long are you here? قَالَ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمًا. We just hear a day or not even a day. He says a day, and then he said, no, not even a day, just some part of a day. Allah told him, بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتْسَنَّ. We preserve your food. Look at the food, still there, intact. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ. If you want to confirm that you are here for long, look at your donkey. Where is it? Couldn't find donkey. Except the balance of the dust, which is the remaining of the bones turning into dust. Clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَانْظُرْ وَلْنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. We're going to make you a sign, an example, evidence for everyone who will come and ask a question like yours. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ إِذَامِ كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا ثُمَّ نَكْسُوهَا لَحْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, just look at that. The bones, how are we going to bring them back in front of your eyes and connect them to each other? And all meat, the meat also will come back to the bones. In front of his eyes, you see this one coming here and there. Then, you know, in a moment, donkey was there. The same donkey he has, same thing. It's not a new donkey, no, the same one. When he sees this, his comment was so nice. قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He says, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I bear witness that there is nothing difficult with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has the power and ability to do everything. So many messages in here, especially the last one, أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. You Allah, if you believe in this, inshallah, you relax. You have Allah always on your side. Always ask Him. You will never lose, بِإِذِنْ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. There was a story I was, it was just storytelling. One of our university mates from Somalia was narrating the story to us. And then I found it in the history that it happened actually. That poor people, three of them, they have one donkey that they share. They come, one of them just told, you know, when you see people having a donkey, three of them sharing one donkey, what does that mean? Very rich, very poor, you know. Even the donkey, even if you have 10 donkeys, what is it? Yeah, we look at the person with donkey as a sign of poverty. Yeah. So they share one donkey, three of them. And then one of them, just like that, he told them, I want to be the king of them. So the rest of the two, they laughed at him so much. So one of them said, and he was making mockery, he said, look, if you become a king, please do whatever you want with me. Humiliate me the way you want. Ask somebody to put me on a horse, go around the city, and saying anything bad against me and calling me Dajjal. So he said, he was making mockery, because to him, this person becoming a king, this is the best definition of impossibility. Yeah. The other one also was making mockery, but in the other way, sarcastic way. He said, but for me, if you are the king, make me one of the ministers. They said, according to the story, he decided to quit that and go to school, join the shurta, the police, you know. And slowly, slowly, day after day, this man is the king. So he remembered his two friends. They are still alive. He asked somebody to go and look for them. They got them. They came to the palace. He looked at the one who said the thing. You know, now they will come with respect. And so he told the first one who said he should be humiliated. He said, remember that? He said, yes. He said, I'm going to give you what you want. You ask for it, I will give you what you want. And then he asked somebody to go. They do it. Exactly what he asked. He said, after you finish doing what he had requested, then bring him back here. And the other one, he gave him a ministry. Yeah, the minister of so-and-so. Yeah. I like what it was mentioned that he told them after they came to his palace. He said, I'm not interested in whatever is going on. But I just want you to know, أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So next time, don't make mockery. He will laugh. You don't know. You don't know. Who would you be in the future? Whatever you need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just ask. This ayah is very powerful. Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Don't you ever listen to somebody who tells you it is impossible for you to get this. As long as it's something within what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed that we can get it, don't you ever listen to somebody who tells you, no, don't try. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Always try. Knock on the door. You will not. Everyone might be deprived, and you will get it. I've been into a situation, I see this very clearly. Everyone might be deprived, and you get it. It is not a miracle. It is not a karama. It is not anything. No, this is just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing what He planned to do. If you're going to lose hope and say you will never get it, you're going to lose. You will be a loser. Like the way they lost, you're also going to lose. So don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah says, لَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَأْسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Don't you ever lose mercy, lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nobody does that except a kafir. So always have hope in Allah's mercy and look for it. You know, look for it. Don't say, no, I will not get. Who told you? We're not the one who are making the decision. Allah is doing the one who is doing. Whatever you want, as long as it's halal and good, just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't have doubt in the acceptance. Because having doubt might deprive you from getting it. Is that clear, inshaAllah? Allah says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawati. What do we want in this dunya? I'm not asking you to tell me, you know what you want, most of you. You want a good wife, or a good husband. That's it. Full stop. You get it? I'm not asking about this. I know you have a lot of things that you... Within our capacity, what do we want? Whatever you want is not as big as the heavens and the earth. Even if it is bigger. Allah says in the last part of Surah Al-Talaq, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawati wa min al-ardi mithlahun, created seven heavens and also the seven earth in terms of number. The heavens, something similar to that. Allah says, yatanazzalu al-amru baynahun. Affair and the wahi and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going between the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. So that you guys will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing everything. Allah, He will Allah, to put hope in us. He says, لِتَعْلَمُوا, so that every one of you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability and the power to do everything. أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge encompasses everything. Yeah, sometimes we might be in a state of difficulty, tough situation, threatened by some of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of what you're doing, which is correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing you that you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. He knows everything. He's aware of what exactly is going on. Don't worry, just put yourself, trust it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep moving. So depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never lose. قَالَ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And then everyone is going to be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this accountability for all of us easy. And grant us ability to be among those who go to Jannah without hisab and without Adam. That's the ultimate success. Going to Jannah without hisab, no adab, wallahi, this is the ultimate success in this dunya. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who created for you. مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. هُوَ is referring to رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He is the one who created لَكُمْ for you. For your own benefit. مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Whatever you found on earth, جَمِيعًا, with no exception. That's why from this ayah, the scholar said, الْأَصْلُ فِي الْأَشَاءِ الْإِبَاحَ. The general principles concerning whatever exists in this dunya is that everything is halal. Get it? When it comes to mu'amalat, when it comes to life, dunya matters, everything is halal, except where Sharia states otherwise. Everything is halal except where Sharia says something else. So if I come to you and I tell you, Ramadani, this is haram. Then, and you ask me why, and I tell you, you should provide evidence. Why do you do it? Am I right? No, I'm not. Because he is going with the general principle. I'm the one who should provide evidence to support my side when I tell him this is haram. Because he goes with the general principle that says everything is halal. Exactly, inshallah. Everything you see on earth is halal for you to eat it, except where Sharia says otherwise. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us a very clear, simple principle for us to know what is right and what is wrong concerning these matters. What to eat and what not to eat. Very simple. You know, you will lie in a very simple way. From the birds, from the land animals, the sea animals, you know, insects, what you can eat and what you cannot eat. In a very simple way. In a way you don't need mufti all the time for you to know what to do. As long as you know this principle. If somebody tells you eating this is haram, then he should provide evidence for this. If somebody tells you this business is haram, then he should provide you with evidence. Otherwise, the general principle says, every single business is halal, except where Sharia states otherwise. Why business is prohibited in Islam? Why businesses are prohibited in Islam? I thought you are from this faculty. Nobody. In Islam, since everything is halal, but we see some businesses rejected by Rasulullah ﷺ. Let's call this, right? Why are they rejecting them? Because they contain one of the four elements, or three elements. Number one, riba. Number two, al-gharam. Number three, al-maisir. Any business that you see Sharia saying this business is haram, that means one of these things exists in it, or all of them, or some of them. Al-riba, al-gharam, al-zulm. Riba is no, right? Al-gharam, that's any business or transaction or dealing that has an unknown future. And the possibility of failing in it is very high. That's ghara. That's where you have gamblings, you have gambling, they're all inside this. Insurances that are not compliant with Sharia, they're all under this category. So many things. Why? Because of gharar. Nahan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bay al-gharar. Any transaction that contains a gharar is prohibited Islamically. Is that clear? The last one is oppression. Of dhulm. Yeah. Of dhulm. Riba is dhulm. Gharar also at the end of the day is dhulm. Yeah. But we have to mention it because sometimes there is no riba, there is no gharar, but there is the dhulm itself in its existence. Hamad doesn't want to sell his car. But I am the king of the place where Hamad is living. Inshallah, never be. But let's say, if I am the one, and then I took the car by force, and I sell it to Ihsan. Hamad, does he want this to happen? No. What am I doing? Oppression. Dhul. That's why when the Tarabi is not there, mutual, you know, agreement and acceptance, then zulm is going to be the replacement. So every business is halal. You know, we don't need to go around, we don't need to play game in the way they are doing nowadays, right? Changing the names and keeping the content, right? The conventional system is still there in our system, but we just change the names. What do you want, Hamad? I want Islamic thing. Okay, we'll give him a name of Islamic thing. But the content is the same. But it says Hamad is very peaceful person, he will not ask so many questions. you know, oh, this is murabaha, this is mudaraba, this is musharaka. Okay, then the scholar says musharaka is halal. But which musharaka is there? We don't know. And when they tell you which musharaka is there, if they even know what musharaka they're doing. Yeah, because I went to one of these places, subhanAllah, the one who's introducing the mudaraba to me doesn't know what mudaraba means. It was a very funny moment, I'm telling you. I like to joke sometimes. I told them, what is that? They said they don't know. But they'll go and ask. The manager also don't know. The manager also don't know. Because I was just there hanging around to come back with the explanation. I did not even say what you're doing, riba or something. I just say, I just want to know what exactly is this so that I will know what I'm doing. Since you guys say you have two accounts, one of them is mudaraba and the something else, the ordinary account. I want to go with mudaraba if I understand what is that. Is it business right? He said, yes. So, okay, what is that then? Which business am I doing? Legal, illegal, you know, halal, haram, I don't know. I want to know. But they couldn't explain. They just had to apologize. So we can't explain. I was like, how is it possible for you to convince me that you're doing the right thing if you cannot even explain what is that? Yeah. And subhanAllah, as I said, I just finished teaching mudaraba in me. Then I went to them and they told me they're doing mudaraba. So I said, let me find a way to see whether it is like our mudaraba or there is another mudaraba. It turned to be even, they don't even know what mudaraba is. And then you tell me they're doing the correct thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to the truth. So we don't need to play game. We just need to come up with whatever we want to do which suits us. But not playing game and trick with the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way the Jews is to do. The Jews is to do this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَرْكَبُوا مَرْتَكَبَةِ الْيَهُودِ وَتَسْتَحِلُّوا مَحَارِمَ اللَّهِ بِأَدْنَ الْحِيَرِ. Do not do what the Jews used to do. At the end of the day, you will be legalizing things which are illegal Islamically, using simple and shallow and silly tricks. That's the Jew, they used to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, don't eat the fat, the white meat. You know the fat, right?
Yeah.
Don't eat that one. What do? They take it. They melt it. They get the oil. They sell the oil. They use the money. Ya Allah. You get it? In Allah, إِذَا حَرَّمَ شَيْءٍ حَرَّمَ ثَمَنَهُ. Allah, when He makes something prohibited, the price will also be prohibited. Don't sell wine. And then this person, he take the wine and don't drink wine. So he take the wine and sell it to somebody, non-Muslim for instance, and use the money. Don't catch fish on Saturday. When did they catch fish? No, Ya Allah. No, when did they catch the fish? No explanation. Saturday. Good, Father. They got the fish on Saturday because they put the net on Friday and the fish get trapped on Saturday, and they will come and pick it up on Sunday. So dumb, I'm telling you. And they think, you Allah is so dumb. And they think they're playing game. You know? Wow. So the Prophet ﷺ warned this ummah from doing something like this. He said, we shouldn't go for this. Yeah, everything is very clear. What is right is clear. What is wrong is clear. So nowadays, if I want to do business, do I have a right to introduce new business in the way I want? Yes. Any business, come up with it and call it a faza product. And then the only thing Sharia wants from you is not to violate any of the Sharia principles. That's it. So after I've designed my model, what should I do? I weigh it with the Sharia to see whether it goes against or not. If it doesn't go against the Sharia, then I introduce it to others. Yeah, maintain the name, attribute it to yourself, it's okay. All of those businesses were there in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before his time actually. He just approved and regulates and he gave them guidelines on how to do that. That's it. But we don't want that. Yeah, we don't want that. We want to maintain the haram one, but using the Islamic names. That's why we're not moving anywhere for 60 years. Islamic banking system, Islamic finance, Islamic economics are not going anywhere. Because when it comes to application, you know, when it comes to presentation and teaching and all of these things, yeah, people are receiving the good one. But then when it comes to application, no, we're always trying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Everything that you see on earth is halal for you. You get it? Except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states to be impermissible. Get it? That means we should ask the scholars, right? Mm. ثم استوى إلى السماء أي قصد إلى السماء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens. فسواهن سبع سماوات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed them and created them as seven heavens. الاستواء إذا عدي بي إلى فمعناه القصد. You know. ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it seven heavens. Are they connected to each other? Then just layers. But if you look at the Sunnah, this, although yeah, there are some opinions which say, but if you look at the Sunnah that says between this heaven and the other one, it's 500 years. That's when they are not connected. Right? Between this one and the other one, there is a space between them. Yeah. So we say what? Wallahu a'lam. But the Sunnah literally says there is a space between every heaven and the one next to it. So if a person is going to the heavens, how many years? He wants to reach heaven number seven. How many years is he going to spend? 3,500 years. Because from the earth to number one, 500. From number one to two, 500. You keep adding from until you reach seven. At what speed? The best answer is Allahu A'lam. But the Prophet said 500 years. قال ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a knowledge of everything. He knows everything. So created everything for us, for our own benefit, with no exception except those which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam state otherwise, or the Quran tells you, you cannot touch this, you cannot do this. مَسْتَوَىٰ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens, you know, He made them seven heavens. Which one comes first, heavens or the earth? So the earth comes first. Do you have any ayah to support this apart from this? I can help you if you wish. Nobody memorized Quran apart from Muhammad. And the last juz, the second surah after Surah An-Naba, which surah is that? An-Nazi'at. In the Nazi'at, in the second page, after the story of Musa alayhi salam, yeah, and all of this clue, and still nobody has answered my question. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. Shafi says, أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّهَا. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ وَالْأَرْضَ. So which one comes first? Shall I give you the mic? In Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلَ إِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ مِنْ فَوْقِهَا وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِلِينَ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَثُمَّ لِلتَّرَاخِي. Yeah, that's why the best opinion is the one that says the earth comes first before the heavens. It's بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ. 2 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens in 2 days, the earth in 2 days. He says, وَتَجَعَلُ لَهُ أَنْدَارَ ذَلَكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ مِنْ فَوْقِهَا وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِلِينَ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ قَصَرَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens. He said, ثُمَّ, and then. That's when the creation of the heavens comes after the creation of the earth. As for the ayah in Surah Al-Nazi'at, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا. He said, دَحَاهَا. دَحَاهَا doesn't mean خَلَقَهَا. That's why he told us what دَحَاهَا means. He says, أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. And this one comes after the creation of the heavens. So it's like this. The earth is being created. And then the heavens comes. And then putting things on the earth, mountains and other things, this one comes after the creation of the heavens. To combine the ayat of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has knowledge, He knows everything. He knows the past, the present, and the future. And His knowledge has no end. وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. And if you take the ocean and turn it into ink, you multiply it by 7. And all the trees on the earth also, you turn them into pen. You use the pen to write about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ink will finish. The pens will become dry. And still, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like you are not touching. This is Rabbul Alameen. So the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond our comprehension. يَعْلَمُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So don't worry. Your situation is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 50,000 years before the creation of the universe, this is written. Not about knowledge. His knowledge is always there with him. His knowledge is always there with him. That you will be created. But even he wrote this knowledge 50,000 years before the creation of the universe. So don't be scared. Don't panic. And don't worry, as long as you are holding upon Allah, don't worry at all. Inshallah, you will never fade in life. Fade in life, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jamin kafir. Inshallah, in the next class, next dars, we will begin with the story of Adam alayhi salam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Borrow money from the bank with interest for purposes such as buying an apartment, car, or starting a business. Is this business halal in this case? The person bought a loan from the bank in order to start a business, and the loan has interest. He starts a business, or he buys a car or house, anything like that. So is this halal?
So what he did was haram. It is impermissible for him to take that loan. And he has to return it back. What is haram is haram. He has to return that. Dissolve that business and return the money back to the bank. Pay off everything. And if he can avoid the interest, he has to. Yeah, he has to. If he can avoid it, he has to. However, if he's going to get into trouble, and at the end of the day he has to do it, then he just do it. As quickly as possible to avoid interest being compounded, increasing. Because sometimes you might finish paying the original loan, but still interest is growing. Yeah. So a Muslim has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and return that loan back and begin his business with halal, what do you call it? Halal money. You know, Allah grant us good. Maisir is gambling. Any mu'amala, where there is a participation from several parties, two parties, three, four. Everyone is contributing with something. And there is a winner, there is a loser. The winner will take the whole thing. This is gambling. You apply it in anything. Even the games, sometimes you guys are doing, but the teams, they have to pay money. Everyone has to pay something. At the end of the day, there is a winner, there is a loser. That's gambling. That's why I advise you to just make your things friendly. Marks, right? Yeah, interesting. No, everyone is a winner. If you happen to take money, use this money to buy food for everyone to eat. The one that lost and the one that won, both of them. But if you're going to have a prize for the winner, being taken from the money given by those people, that's gambling. So this is maisir. Okay? This is al-maisir. Allah grant is good. Whatever business a person is doing which contains the element of maisir, the convention a conventional insurance, they contain maisir. That's why the scholars say they're wrong for a person to approach them. Get it? But so many things we do in this life, if you look at it, it's also a maisir. There is a business when I buy a product, and then if I manage to introduce somebody, the more I introduce, the more money I get, right? Yeah, something like that. This one also is gambling. Somebody says, no, but the thing you bought, you're using it, but the objective of you buying is what? To join the competition. To join the competition. And they made it in this way. You cannot join without buying. So there's a way to sell their product and also to gain more people to promote what they are doing. That's it. At the end of the day, most of the people will be losing. Look for very straightforward business, halal, clearly halal business, and it's better for you than taking sugar. Heavens is not Jannah. Heavens are not Jannah. Jannah is in the heavens. You get it? That one is Jannah, this is Sama. So there are two different things. And also there is no contradiction, even if we say seven heaven, we're talking about eight doors of Jannah. Eight doors of Jannah. You can have one house with eight doors. There's no contradiction. We're not talking about the level, the amount of the Jannah. We're talking about the doors of Jannah. But at the same time, also heavens is not Jannah. Jannah is in the heavens. Allah. This is what some scholars said. The levels in Jannah according to are in accordance with the number of the verses in the Quran. Which means if you finish the Quran, inshallah, you will be able to reach Firdaus, inshallah. Even that. Allah grant us good. Some scholars mention this.
My daughter was born 7 months ago and I lost the hair from the sadaqa. Do I estimate the amount I've given sadaqa?
Yes, you can do that. If you lost the hair for the charity, you can just give the estimate to the child.
Would you be able to please do a short course on economics and business for youth from Islamic perspective?
Coming up, inshallah. Even that. We're making a plan for this. So once it is finalized, we will let Allah will have a meeting from A to Z, inshallah. Even that.
The children of a woman. When a woman's ex-husband who are born after the divorce.
And those ones, they cannot marry her forever. لَا تَنْكِهُ مَا نَكَهَ آبَاءُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Even if the father divorced, whatever children he has, they cannot marry the woman who he used to be with forever. All of them, actually. That's why I just leave the name. Leave the name aside. Just look into the content and see what is that. If the content resembles the Maisir, it's Maisir. Whether we call it Islam, we call it Kaaba, we call it what else? Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we call it Bil-Hijjah, we call it... I'm just trying to remember all the words in Islam. You get it? Iman, Ihsan, you know? Whatever you call it, as long as you're doing the wrong thing, it's wrong.
But then, which side, where is supposed to apply for when you want to...
You go with the one that is compulsory. The one that is optional, you stay away from it. The one that is imposed, that everyone has to do by the authority. You just go with that one. Take the minimum. You get it? Yeah, but then whenever you have a choice, you stay away from them, all of them. Personally, I've never come across the correct one. Never. I'm not saying they don't exist. They might. But I've never seen one. You get it? So a person should go with the lowest one. And that's it. If he has a choice, stay away from it. If he doesn't have a choice, that's good. That's good.
During your lecture today, you mentioned like it's wrong, it's not right to like say this kind of stuff, like where if you eat healthy, you will live long. So is it like haram to say this kind of stuff or otherwise?
No, because living, every single person has a time that Allah SWT prescribed for him that he is going to live here on earth. Cannot exceed that one. Whether I eat healthy, I don't eat healthy. After I reach that time, I have to go. I have to go. That's why the people who are living in places where we think people are living longer, like what? Japan. Usually they talk about Japan. They even mention what they eat in the morning, what they drink in the morning. Do the Japanese die? Japanese. They die like anybody else, right? Yeah, they might age a bit longer than another race, right? You know. Do you have rich people in some other countries, they are dying at a younger age? Yes. And they're eating healthy. They're eating good. They go for exercise. They have the whole gym thing in their house. But still they die. That's why the best way to say it is to believe that, yes, everyone has his own fixed time, and you will never go beyond that. However, Sharia advises always to eat healthy, to maintain our health, to preserve our health. It's always good for you to be productive, to have energy, to do things for your akhirah, to do things for your dunya, rather than being bedridden, so poor, so weak, you can't do anything in this dunya. But at the same time, I believe that my food will never prolong my age. Yeah, will never make me. If there is something that makes give you a longer age, it's something which is spiritual action. So let's Allah SWT said, if you want your age to be extended and your risk to be expanded, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you should do the Salat al-Rahim. You should be very kind to your relatives. Allah will give you a long life.
It's important to like commit and share with Allah, because, for example, what I'm like worried, I was worried about is like when you say that like eating fruit will prolong your life, something.
No,
so it's not
true.
The food that is prolonging your life.
Yeah, it's wrong. I don't want to go to that man and say this one is mushrik, but but it's wrong to say this.
Yeah. Is, on the other hand, let's say another circumstances, there is like a driver who's driving my car, right? So if there was an accident, like, and I nearly escaped death, normally the reaction of the passengers would be like, oh my God, well, how good of a driver you are, you like, I escaped death because of you.
That person has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The correct way to make it is Alhamdulillah. If not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interferes and he granted this driver to be within his consciousness to do the right thing, and Allah aid him to do the right thing, we could have been in the past history. So you see, you keep the credit all for Allah. And even the driver's getting ability to control the car is from Allah. Because many times, actually, a person getting into trouble when accident happens because of him. Because you become confused. You lock the door rather than opening the door. You do things which will implicate the person himself. Press the accelerator more, rather than removing your leg from it. So that's why we need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us what you call comfort, tranquility, to be able to do the right thing. This is really necessary. And who is doing this is Rabbul Alameen. Not us. Not us. So as a Muslim, we shouldn't say that, this driver, if not because of this driver, I get into trouble. That's kadib. This is lying. I'm taking the right of Allah, giving it to somebody else. We say, if not because of Allah, we will get into trouble. If I want to give some credit to the driver, if not because of Allah granted this driver ability to control himself and to do the right thing, and he did, we could have been it. So I give all the credit to Allah, and I recognize this person also. I tell him, thank you for maintaining your patience, and the tranquility to drive the car nicely when we are in that critical situations. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Imagine if we take that literally, Musab. Ya Allah, let me live 100 years. Okay? When I approach 100 years, Ya Allah, I want 100 more. When I approach that one, Ya Allah, 100 more. When I approach that one, when am I going to die? Maybe I live until the time I see people going to paradise. And so it doesn't go like this. However, the one who wrote both the dua and the first decree is Rabbul Alameen. And both of them are written at the first place. That Musab is going to make dua, he's going to do the Silat al-Rahim, and because of this, Allah asked the angels to increase the age. Well, that time, was already increased. Because Allah knows that you're going to do that. So you have two ages written. One of them you will live 1,000 and the other 1,500. Even older than Noah, right? The other 1,500, for instance. Which one will take place? The second one. Why the second one is taking place, not the first one? Because of the dua you made. But Allah wrote this before you are even created. But He already knows that you're going to be created. And He knows that you will be making that dua. So He wrote it down. And His knowledge cannot be wrong. That Musab is going to choose to be kind to his relative. If he wrote this, that means you're going to choose to do. Not he is forcing you. No, this is what you'll be choosing to do. So both the dua and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are written at the same time. So if you look at it, at the sense of two qadr have been written, then and one of them is the cause of the dua, then you say, the dua changes the first qadr. But it doesn't mean that whenever you make dua, that other will change. May Allah grant us good.
A person says this property which he bought, as you and he followed the opinion that it is halal to take Islamic loans and Islamic banks. Now he sold this property, doesn't mean just to cleanse the value which he got.
He bought the property.
He bought the property
through riba.
Through Islamic loan.
Riba. Or Islamic loan, whatever you call it. If it is Islamic loan, then that means it's correct.
But today is Islamic.
Today is Islamic loan. Yeah. So through something that is wrong, right? Then he has to take whatever amount that belongs to him, and then the rest get rid of it. Allah says, فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. He returned the loan as it is. And the balance, he got rid of it. And I will advise him to just take his capital. The rest, he got rid of it.
Islamic loan, does it contain indirect interest too? Does it have increment of the original cost?
Islamic loan?
Islamic loan, does it contain indirect interest too? Does it contain indirect interest too? Or does it have any increment in the original loan?
No. Shouldn't. At all. I take loan, I have to return exactly what I took. However, from my own willingness, I can go to Hamad, the lender, my creditor. I tell him, Alhamdulillah, your money has led me to get a lot of profit. And I'm here to share some of this profit free of charge. I never saw interest from your side. I just wanted it. Then I gave you, rather than 1,000, I gave you 2,000. You tell me, no, I gave you only 1,000. I said, no problem. This is yours, free. As long as I do not see interest from your side, it's halal for me to do that. But if you show me interest, then it's haram for me to do that.
So I should be ignorant.
I know.
Follow-up question from Sister Sada. Are those children from the past husband which are born after the divorce, can they travel with the...
Yes, if there is any person, Sa'ada, that a woman cannot marry forever, these are the maharim. People that a woman cannot marry them forever and ever. You get it? They can travel with her.
Are they haram for the daughters this woman will have with the next
year? The daughters of?
Of the woman.
Somebody else. He has his own children, right?
There's a woman, she was divorced.
She married somebody else.
Yeah, she married.
She got daughters with that person.
That person. And the husband has sons with the other. So are these two also?
I know. The mahramiya is only on the child, this person, and the mother. These are from another person, right?
If the study loan I'm taking has inserted a clause stating that the amount repayable may be changed according to my CGP result with stated percentage repayable, does this mean that there is an element of haram which is not permissible in Islam?
Say the question again.
So basically, a sister took a loan, study loan, and this includes the clause which says that the amount which will be repaid can be changed depending on the CGP of the person. Mm-hmm. And they have the decided.
I know, that condition is wrong. Wrong condition. I know. The amount cannot change, whether he got good result or doesn't.
It's like someone forgiving, let's say, I lend a person money for education.
Yeah, can change into something that benefit the borrower, yes. The debtor. I borrow money from you, and you told me, okay, use this money for education. If you get good marks, I can give you discount.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yes,
if this is the question, then this is fine. Okay. But I can increase the amount.
No.
The amount can go down.
Yeah,
no, that's okay. That's okay, because it's going to benefit the borrower.
But I cannot increase.
Cannot increase. But we can benefit him, because at the end of the day, either he pays what he took, or they give him discount.
Yeah. I could know is like you borrow 50,000 ringgit, but let's say you get like a 3.5, you only have to pay back 15%. Or if you get a 3.3, pay back 20% of the loan.
So
you always pay back less than what you originally borrowed.
That's good. The problem is when we add.
If I want to do TIF full time, is it better to continue in classes and do part time TIF so I can learn and practice studying, or just focus on memorizing first?
Focus on memorization first. Memorizing the Quran, right? And now, if it is good for you to finish your memorization before you start being very serious. You attend all the classes, but what should take the vast majority of your attention is the Quran. Because you can finish it in 1 year and then make the focus on other matters. Saada, please forward me that question, inshallah, in detail. The one that you asked, the first and the second, inshallah. Let me review it again. Thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.